Morning. Just getting myself plugged in here. Yeah. Anybody notice anything different today?
No.
They're saying, not yet. We're waiting to see how long you're going to preach. That's probably what you're thinking. That's probably what you're thinking, but that's totally okay. Our emphasis today has been on heartfelt worship. That's our missional marker, and that's what we're focusing on today, and that's what we'll be talking about in our discussion after our time in worship here. We'll be going out these doors to the right to Fellowship Hall. Geraldine, there's goodies, right? They look like good goodies. I'm just doing whatever I can to bribe you to get in there, because I know you'll have a rich experience if you go. There's a little problem, though, I think, with the word worship, because we sometimes narrow it down to thinking about logistical things rather than what's happening internally. It's kind of like the word church. You know, people will drive by, or people will say to me, oh, you're a pastor, where is your church? And I go, well, I'll have to show you a map, because they're spread out all over. But you know what they're asking. They're asking, where's your building, right? We said, there's that church building. And I'm trying to sort of discipline myself to say church building instead of church, because it throws us off of what the real meaning of church is. Church is us, the body of Christ, not the building, right? And same thing kind of like with the word fellowship. Sometimes we put the label fellowship on anything we do at church that gets people together in the same room doing something, right? And that's all fine, but you know, it is actually possible, if we weren't really speaking to each other, we could all be in the same room and not really be in fellowship, right? So the words or the structures don't guarantee what's happening in our hearts. And it's the same way with worship. We tend to say, okay, we're going to worship now. That's the part from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Right? And we know where we're going to be in this room, in this building. But really what we're trying to emphasize today is, for worship to be truly worship, it is heartfelt. And in fact, I guess you could say that our missional marker, heartfelt worship, is kind of redundant. Because if it isn't experienced from the heart, can we say that it really is worship? That's what we're going to be wrestling with a little bit today. Now, the other thing that happens, even within worship, is sometimes we say worship when we're talking about the singing part of what we do, right? Well, we're going to have some time of worship, and then, I hear this all the time, we're going to have some time of worship, and then we're going to pray. Or we're going to have some time of worship, and then the pastor is going to talk. As if you pressed pause on worship when I got up here. Well, then that's what we've got to talk about today. That's what we've got to talk about today. Because worship is really the state of our heart every moment as we're engaged with God. What I'd like to read for you is a little passage from Acts chapter 2. This is the day of Pentecost has come, right? People are hearing the praises of God. People from all over the Mediterranean, people from all kinds of cultures and languages are hearing God's people praise him, and they're hearing it all in their own language. It's an amazing moment. I can't even explain it because it's beyond our comprehension what happened in that moment. But we do know that in that moment, many people turned their hearts towards God and became believers. And Peter had the opportunity to preach, and here's what he said. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to him." And he testified with many other words and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. Now, listen, so here's their conversion experience, right? But what happened next? It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. In other words, they worshiped. They worshiped. And that's what we're going to be digging into a little bit when we go to our discussion time. What does it mean that when we come together to worship, we hear the teaching of the apostles? What does it mean when we come together to worship that we literally do experience fellowship? It's not just the name of the room we're in, but it's what's actually happening in our hearts. What does it mean when we worship through the breaking of bread? Is it enough to just say, hey, we got the food that we like? Or is something else happening in the breaking of the bread? And finally, what does it mean that we pray? And that we pray together? Because every one of us could stay home on Sunday morning and pray, right? For the things that are important to us, like the wellness of our family and friends, Seahawks if necessary. You know, I mean, in other words, that's what we could do, right? Wherever our hearts are focused, that is where our prayer is happening. So even though I'm kind of making a joke about Seahawks, I'm kind of not. Because it's very possible to be in God's space, lifting up the name of Christ, and have our minds and hearts elsewhere, isn't it? It can happen. So what we want to do today is talk about what does worship really mean? What does it mean for us to engage in worship? And how do we help ourselves in those times when our hearts might be drawn away from keeping the Lord Jesus at the center? Are you open for a little discussion about that today? Okay. Now, one more worship thing. What I didn't mention is the worship of giving, which is really at the center of worship going back to the days of Moses, right? That the people made sacrifices. They brought something of value to themselves and said, God, I surrender this to you. And that's why when we take an offering on Sunday, it's not just, we got to figure out some time to get the money to make the church work. So let's stop the worship and do that in the middle, and then we'll go back to worship because that's when we got everybody together. No, we didn't stop worship. Our giving is an act of worship. And so these look so different than they used to from the old days. Back in the old days, we used to have what looked like Campbell's soup labels. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of you who are old enough and been a part of the covenant long enough? Okay. The Covenant World Relief is an organization that kind of works in hand with Covenant World Mission, but they're specifically focused on helping emergency needs around the world. And the Covenant World Relief has been a strong and vibrant ministry in the covenant, especially in those times of crisis, you know, when there's an earthquake somewhere in the world, when there's a tsunami, all kinds of emergencies in the world. We have covenanters on the ground to minister to those in need. And the only way they're able to do it is because we, as covenanters, give our resources towards that. And so an old tradition is you get the soup can label and you get a lid. Notice the lid has a hole in it. What you do, now you have to provide your own can. That's the hard work, right? Okay. So you have to get yourself a soup can, clean it out, because if you start putting change in there and there's still tomato stuff in there, no, it doesn't work well. Clean it out. Then you wrap this label around there, the can for change, and you pop this lid on top. And we encourage you to put it on your dining table. And that for you and your family, whenever you sit down to eat together, or if you don't eat together, when you get ready to go to your separate video screens to eat, however that works, we can talk about that in another sermon, bring your spare change, bring your offering, bring whatever God's put on your heart. The idea is to contribute on a regular basis, and we're then going to gather these on the last Sunday of Advent, the fourth Sunday of Advent. So you've got yourself, a little over a month to be able to gather these. And so on that last Sunday, we'll get out a reminder to you. We want you to bring your soup cans, and we're going to bring them and lay them on the altar as a sign of our offering to the Lord that we care about the things that He cares about. And that all we have comes from Him. So we want to have the ushers hand these out as you go out today. Please, just one per family. We've got about 50 of them. But if we get Yeah, one per family, that would be great. And this will be another way that you can worship and that we can do this together as the body of Christ. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together in worship today. We realize that worship really only happens as our hearts are prepared for that, Lord. And so we pray, Lord, that our hearts have been open to you to offer our praises and to receive the good gifts that you have for us, Father. But if our hearts have been resistant, if our minds have been in other places, if we've struggled, Lord, to keep you at the center of our hearts and minds today, we thank you for the grace of Jesus and the movement of your Holy Spirit to draw us back. Teach us more about worship, Lord, and may our whole lives, not just our moments here together in this room, but our whole lives reflect your glory and praise. And we give this to you in the name of Jesus our Lord.